we're beginning a unique class in our dating series, and this is the first time I'm giving such a class with this specific topic. This is a class that's focused specifically for people who did tshuva and people who are gerim, or people who are marrying someone who did tshuva or marrying someone who is a ger. We'll introduce the topic. I think so. We'll introduce the topic and then we'll work towards the point that I want us to get to, which is really a very short point, but I want us to understand it correctly. When people start dating, so very often they wonder, if I did tshuva, should I marry someone who's frum from birth, FFB, or should I marry someone who went through similar experiences that I did? Same thing with someone who did gir. And each side has its pluses and its minuses. You marry someone who's frum from birth, so you gain. They have a picture of what a Jewish home looks like. You gain. They have a family. You gain the family. They'll fill in the gaps. And very often, the major hardship for someone who did not grow up in a frum home is knowing how to balance things. Everything's nice in theory, but Lamaisa, what do you do when your son tells you, I'm not listening to you? Now what? How are you supposed to react when your son says, I don't want to come to the Shabbos table? When your son says, I don't want to learn Parsha, I don't want to learn Torah? Those are small examples, and then there are bigger examples. And very often within the home, so there are questions of how a Jewish home is really supposed to look. And when someone has this in their blood, when they've grown up with this, so they don't have these questions. It's a given. They know that the Shabbos tablecloth has to be white, and they know what the Shabbos candles look like, and they know what a relationship between spouses is supposed to look like, more or less. And it can help balance out many, many things. So there's a tremendous plus with marrying someone who's frum from birth. There can be minuses that, if we're talking to guys, a guy might feel like she's wearing the pants in the house. And a guy might feel like, I don't want to marry a woman who's going to tell me, no, that's not how you do it. And I can understand that. To an extent, every husband and every wife want a certain balance in their relationship, that there will be things where he's leading the house, just like she's going to lead the house in certain things. There are certain areas where both feel naturally that he should be leading the house. And that's the way a relationship works. And to a great extent, in the spiritual things in the house, he is supposed to have more to offer. And if he's marrying someone who's 10 steps ahead of him, so that can be very challenging. It can be problematic. There's another aspect, which is the one which we're going to focus on tonight, and that is that the nature of a person is that he fluctuates. People aren't steady. A person can have 3 years when he wakes up for Vasikin, and then another 2 years when he barely makes Zman Kriya Shema and Zman Tefillah. Hopefully we're steady. Hopefully we have steady growth. But even within steady growth, there's going to be ups and downs. There are going to be the Masechta that a person makes it to Daf Yomi every night, and then there are going to be the Masechta where every time he makes it, he doesn't know what's flying, because he's missed so many nights. That's life. So we have to try and be steady. That's part of the Mishnah we just learned, Tevesh Shakud Lilmot Torah. Person should have atmada, person should maintain steadiness in things that he does, and better less but steady than more but unsteady. But at the same time, we have to recognize that part of life is that we all have ups and downs. And ups and downs can come to play in many different areas. One day a person wants to be machmir very much, and the next day he doesn't. And in that respect, if someone marries someone from birth, their ups and downs are going to be much less, because in life they've fluctuated less. Once a person has made a radical change in his life, so his potential for fluctuation is much greater than someone who has not made that radical change. And that means that marrying someone from birth can be an advantage, but by the same token it could be a disadvantage. Because if you're marrying someone that did tshuva, so then they understand the feelings, they understand the fluctuations more than someone who doesn't experience it. So both sides have their advantages. What I want to focus on tonight is, how do we enter marriage when in essence we have this potential for fluctuation. Today a person feels like, of course I keep Shabbos, of course I keep Kashrus, of course I'm going to keep family purity, and of course I'm going to learn the rest of my life. If I'm not going to learn 10 hours a day, so I'll learn an hour a day, so I'll listen to classes on MP3. I know the observance level I want, and from there I hope to work up. But a person has to be realistic and recognize that in life we don't know how high we're going to get, and by the same token we don't know how low we're going to get. And just like today everything seems real and everything seems very positive, realistically we don't know how far we're going to fall. And so the question that we're going to try to deal with tonight is, how do we advance in a relationship to marriage when A, there's the question of our own fluctuations, or if I'm dating someone who did tshuva, there's the question of their fluctuation. Firstly, in any relationship, there's potential for change. Every person you're going to meet has potential for change, and every person has potential for extreme change. That potential is more acute with someone who's already done extreme change. We don't know if it's a pendulum that's just swung way out here and it's going to swing way back there. We assume not. We assume no. We've just shifted the pendulum into this realm. That's what we're working on. But at the same time, we have to recognize that time is what's going to prove that. Consistency, the ability to maintain it. Chazal told us that we had great sages who at the end of their lives, they left the faith. It's happened. So it can happen to anyone. But at the same time, we have to understand that if we're looking for prime candidates, if we're looking for the at-risk community, then we are there. If that's what we're looking for, so we have to know we're there. On the one hand, we have to have faith in ourselves. This is what I am, and this is what I want to be, and this is where I'm going to go. And I'm not coming to try to break that faith. We have to really be true to ourselves and be true to the girl we're dating and eventually marrying, and be very fair as to where we're holding. Yeah.
In terms of being confident, it's hard to be hard balance, because if you're coming from a your perspective, and the person you're dating is from the birth, how can you balance out? Because the more you learn, the more you come out here, the stricter you tend to want to be on everything you're doing, and that person may not want to be as strict on certain levels.
Right. So that, I'll try to deal with that in 1 minute now, and then maybe we'll have a different class on that. So the question was really asked, being that once one did gear or is doing tshuva, so one is still in flux, he hasn't landed, so there can be situations where one wants to be machmir, and the spouse, who's from birth, sees no need for it. I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. Listen to your spouse.
Why?
What did expect?
No, I'll explain it.
No,
let me tell you a few stories. There was a guy who did tshuva. So his kids are playing and he wants to buy them a treat. So he goes to the store and he buys them a bunch of comic books. His wife says, you know, in this neighborhood, people don't read comic books. He says, but there's no halachic problem with comic books. What's wrong? I'm not buying them dirty comic books. I'm buying them regular comic books. I don't know what's not dirty comic books. I don't want to give an example. I don't know. I'm buying them regular comic books. Let them read it. Fine. He continues learning. 3 weeks later, he decides comic books are not kosher. So he comes home and says, kids, give me the comic books. So they say, what do you mean? What do you want our comic books for? So he says, it's not right that you're all reading comic books. So they look at him and they say, Dad, you gave us those comic books. So he says, I know I gave you those comic books, but it's wrong. I want the comic book back. There's a problem. For a child to live in imbalance is a problem. If he wouldn't have gotten the comic books, I don't mind. If he would leave them with the comic books, I don't mind. But for him to give them the comic books and take them back, now I have a problem. And that's why I would rather you maintain an observance level that's fair, that's kosher, not machmir. But your spouse says, this is what my parents did, this is kosher, and be consistent, then you'll have a successful home. I know many homes which looked like this. The children are 3 years old, they watch TV with their father. They become 6 years old, the father says, TV is trash, take it out of the house. This is ridiculous. They take the TV out of the house. 2 years later, he's unemployed, he's bored, he's at home. He brings the TV back into the house just to watch the news. He only wants to see the news. He's not watching TV. But we all know what happens when there's a TV in the house. 3 months later, everyone's watching TV. What have the kids seen? In the beginning, there was a TV. Then it became treif. Then it came back into the house just for the news. And a few months later, it became kosher again. They start watching TV. Their father gets a job. He goes to a shir again. He comes back and says, TV is treif. This is ridiculous. You guys are wasting your lives. Even non-Jews recognize that TV is bad for you. Takes the TV out of the house. Okay, TV back out of the house. Another 2 years pass. There's the Gulf War. There's the war in the north. The father says, look, we have to know what's going on. It's important. Just for the news, we bring a TV back into the house. TV is back into the house just for the news, just for kosher. This time we're going to watch. We're going to see what the kids see. We're going to ensure what happens. We all know what happens a few months later. And we all know that eventually it becomes that everyone's watching TV. And suddenly the father doesn't just watch the news and the kids don't just watch the news. Flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. Standard life of a Baal Tshuva. This is no exaggeration. I'm giving you one small example. This is an example that I still heard as a kid. I had other kids in my class who were Baal Tshuva. Their parents were Chozim B'Tshuva. And we once had a conversation like during recess as kids. And the kids, there was one common thread. The Chozim B'Tshuva kids all said, we sometimes have a TV and sometimes it's treif. Sometimes it's kosher and sometimes it's treif. And they were all comparing notes and they all said the same story. Not one, not two, but three or four kids in my class had parents like that, and they all agreed, this is what our house looks like. That's one example. I'm not talking about going to the movies, taking your kids out to a kosher movie. I'm not talking about hechsherim, where parents sometimes tell their kids, we don't eat this, it's treif. Don't say it's treif. You don't want to eat it, don't eat it. Don't say it's treif. But you become so pious that what other people are eating isn't kosher. And then a few years later, suddenly you're out in the Golan and there's no other hechsher but that. And suddenly you say, okay, you know what, over here we're eating it. And the kids say, Abba, you said that's straight. I didn't mean it's straight. It's kosher. If we've maintained something and we're consistent, we're going to be much more successful with our kids. And that's why I would much rather, in this respect, speak to your spouse, find the common ground. And if you're going to grow, grow in very, 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 very small notches. And I've said this many times. But then I get a phone call from someone out in who cares where. And he says, you know, I listen to your classes. And my wife and I live in a Dati Lumi neighborhood. And I've decided that I want to wear a Hasidish garb. And my wife says, you go out in that, I'm going to bury myself. And he says, but that's how I feel Shabbos. It's honoring Shabbos. What do you want? I don't enjoy Shabbos otherwise. I feel like I'm not honoring the Shabbos enough. And she says, but what will our kids say? You have a seventh grade girl. She's going to school. What are her friends going to say? So he says, they'll say she has a father who honors Shabbos. Okay, I'm giving you a few examples.
Well, this is the same thing as what the Israelis look at me when... When I wear the
Haredi
garb.
What's the bottom line message here? Going back to your question, I didn't mean to take so much time on this tangent, but it's a relevant tangent. Success in building a home, if you built a basic home, I don't need chumras. I don't need you aspiring for anything great. If you've built a home that's like your neighbor's home, assuming you have a normal neighbor, if you've built a home that's a regular from home, you've succeeded. Your place in Olam Haba is high up there. Way high up there, because that is probably the most difficult thing for a person who does tshuva. Because like you said, a person who does tshuva is yearning for more. He spends his life yearning for more and more. So what a person can do is internalize the work. A person can say, okay, I'm going to be a pious Jew. What does that mean? I will never talk to my spouse or children without a true smile on my face. I will never get angry inappropriately. I will measure every word I say. Person says, but I want to work on Hechsherim. Yeah, but if it doesn't fit for your spouse and it's all kosher, what's the point? What you gain and what you lose? That's what's going to make you a more kosher Jew? I don't think so. I don't think that's where a person should focus his efforts when he's just done tshuva or just done gear. 20 years down the road, we'll talk again and I'll probably tell you the same thing. But I'm willing to talk again in 20 years. Usually I say 10. But being that you're holding by getting married, I'd rather say 20. No, if you were single and you were 20, then I'd say maybe we could talk in 10. But you're not single. I mean, you're on the verge of marriage and you're not 20. So we'll talk in 20 years. Yeah. That's a different example. That's a specific example which is different. That's worth discussing, but I think that's already too far off. But that's a different example. But if you want, we could discuss either on Thursday night, if you want to discuss it publicly, or we could discuss one-on-one, but that's a different example. That specific example is different. I recommend that every person have a Rav that they maintain constant contact with. If you could have a Rav that you learn with 5 minutes a day, you've got a lot. And if it's just going to his shir 5 minutes a day, you've got a lot. And I'm not talking about MP3 to all our listeners. You're not Yotze here. This isn't enough. A Rav means you see him, he sees you, you have communication with him, you talk to him, and hopefully he'll make a comment when he has to make a comment. A good Rav makes a comment when he has to make a comment. I had the good fortune this past week of getting a comment from a Rav who asked a Shaila too. I asked him a Shaila in one direction and he gave me a comment in a totally different direction. And to this day I'm still, I have a place in my heart that's happy that Baruch Hashem someone made this comment to me. You're fortunate if you find someone who's going to make a comment when you need it. What is helpful to us? A, to try to work with our spouse if she's from birth. If she's not, we don't have that advantage. B, to try to maintain balance. The greatest growth is balanced growth. And balanced growth means very, very, very slowly. As slowly as you think, divide that by 10. However slow you think, go slower. Because I'm always saying slow, and people come back to me and they're very, very fast. Whatever you think you could do in a week, try doing in 10 or maybe in 10 months. Slow, slow, slow. Slow but steady wins the race. And here's where I want to get to the topic of tonight's class. And this is a point that I'm basing a little bit on the Kuzari. And a little bit on personal experience, and that is what we called on the sign the irreligious aspect of Jewish dating. There's a couple in this community that got married when they were both not religious. And everyone knows them. They're a famous couple. And then the wife became religious. And he was detained. She made Aliyah. He couldn't come for a while. She enrolled the children in religious schools here. And then he came. Finally, he was able to make it. he really was detained. The government wouldn't let him come initially. But after a while, after a few years, he made it. And he comes to a home that his wife has built, which is a fully religious home. Now, he has two options. He could say, this is not the home I want. This is not the home we built when we started. Very nice that you believe in this. I respect it, but I don't believe in it. And one might say he has legitimacy. He in truth, did not begin with her building this home. That's not the home they began building. And he has chosen a far nobler approach. His approach is, I'll respect the house. You respect me in doing what I want. And I won't desecrate things in front of you. I'll respect you. I'll play along. You know, the children know, this isn't my way. But I can respect it. And we can live together and we can build a home. No one may enter marriage with such an understanding. This can only work when you're already there. You're married. And now the question is, now what, when there are differences between us? And this is where I want to discuss a point, irrespective of religion. If two people are getting together and agreeing to build their home, so then there have to be certain understandings that transcend religion. On the one hand, we're religious people and we're accustomed to thinking that everything works through the glasses of religion. And that is the way we hope to live our lives. And that is the way we should live our lives. We do everything in accordance with halacha. At the same time, there have to be certain basic understandings between two people when they're getting together. Certain basic understandings of mutual respect, of building together in spite of differences that might ensue, that exist irrespective of religion. A couple like that is the ideal couple. That's a couple that they have huge differences, and yet they build a beautiful home. They have beautiful children, they're going to get beautiful shidduchim, they have excellent nachas from the kids. It's not easy. It's easy for him to keep halachas he doesn't believe in. You got to be kidding yourself if you think that he's living in a house that's keeping kosher and he's respecting that and he's not keeping kosher. Even if he's not, and I think he is, I think that much he himself keeps. As far as I know, he does, but who am I to judge? I mean, whatever. That's not relevant. I'm just bringing it for the example. I'm sure there are things he has to eat on his own dishes. To be in one's own house and bend oneself to the house, that takes a great person. Well, gentlemen, I think that if you're going towards dating, you've got to be great people. I'm saying this to each and every individual. There has to be an understanding that I will live up to my end of the deal, regardless of where I'm holding. Why is this so important? Because if we've had students that have left Machon Meir and have gone in different directions, and we mentioned it this past Shavuos, right? Shavuos by day. During that special class we had, that there are students who went in all kinds of directions after leaving Machon Meir. We have faith in every student, and Baruch Hashem, the students think the rate of Machon Meir is well over 99%. Well over 99 out of 100 students continue in the path and continue growing. But we still have to recognize that there are going to be ups and downs, and the potential for downs is different than the potential that every other person has. And so there have to be understandings that we will respect, and our respect for those understandings does not stem from religion. They stem from who I am, the core of me being a human being. The Kuzari says, why is it that the prophets keep preaching basic morals? You think they're such great people, they should talk all kinds of elevated message. They're talking basics. Don't steal the orphans. Don't cheat the widows. That's pretty basic. That's what you need Isaiah for. Well, says the Kuzari, if you don't have that, you can't talk about greater things. And to an extent, within the marriage, when we're talking about dating and building a relationship, you have to have that. Before you're going to talk to me about building a house where you learn Torah, building a house where you aspire for this chumrah or that chumrah, excellent, I'm all for it. But before that, there has to be a basic understanding. If tomorrow morning I wake up and I decide I don't have koach for A or B or C, I'm going to stop and ask myself, wait a second. I made an agreement with this person. She put her life into this marriage with the understanding that I'm going to live up to certain things. Now I want to address another point, which is a very big point in our day and age. A person is going to claim, but I'm not true to myself. I have to be true to myself. If I don't believe in it right now, if I don't feel that that's me, how can I do it? Right? Half of why people came here is because they feel they have to be true to themselves. That's what got a person here. And sometimes when a person wakes up and he doesn't feel like it, so he says, well, if I do it, I'm not being true to myself. So that might be true. Maybe you're not being true to the self that you feel this minute, but you're being true to the self that entered into a certain agreement. You entered into marriage with certain understandings. And you have to be able to live up to those understandings, even while when this moment it doesn't feel like what you want to be. I don't know if there's a point in giving examples. You tell me. I think the point is clear, but you guys have to tell me. I don't know. I had it clear before I said it, so I don't know. What are you saying, Michael? Yeah. Okay. So I again, this is the first time we're having such a class, but due to all kinds of things, I think that it's an important class to think about, our responsibilities and to remember that there's another party that we have to be true to, not only being true to ourselves. And in truth, when I am true to them, I am being true to my word. And being true to myself on another level. And if we maintain it, then usually what happens is that we can bounce back. And ultimately that will also be being true to ourselves. A person cannot be fickle. And a person cannot move with the winds of the day. Just because today I don't have koch to get up for minyan, but that's my responsibility, so that's what I'm going to do. And we have to be long-winded, and when we're long-winded, that's how we can build things. And if we're ready to enter marriage, then we have to be long-winded enough to enter that marriage with the knowledge that there will be ups and there will be downs. But there have to be certain understandings that will not be broken, even when I have a down. And I think that's something every person has to think about and address. On some level, when they're dating whoever it is they're dating that they think is going to be Mrs. Right, then we should talk about the ups and the downs. If you're dating a girl that says, I can understand that sometimes you don't feel like keeping Shabbos, I also sometimes don't feel like keeping Shabbos. So my advice to you too is stop dating and build your lives. And when you decided, are you going to or not going to, and I hope you'll decide you are going to keep Shabbos, and you've maintained that level for a few years, then start dating again and see if you match, if you've both landed in the same place. But to date and be fickle, and I'm not sure, and I'm not consistent, it's not right to the children. What kind of home can you build? And it's not right to one another, because you have to match, and you have to build together. So, I wish everyone Matzlacha.